It's Big Ugly Tailgate, bringing the party to the radio with Casey Studdard, Johnny Rogers, and Ashley Camrath, talking sports, food, music, and all things ATX on the horn.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rabbit.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Big Ugly Tailgate. It's just me today. Ashley and Johnny are, you know, doing their own thing, effing off. No, I think one's in Idaho, and Ashley, I think she has a funeral she's going to today, so have her in your thoughts for sure. We got playoff hockey. We got playoff basketball starting on Monday. We got a UFC fight again this weekend. I mean, I don't know how he does it. He just has title fight after title fight every weekend, but it should be a good heavyweight match. I think it's the third time these two have fought, and I think they've split so far. What's it? Miocic and Cormier are fighting heavyweights tonight on ESPN Plus. That's different than pay per view exclusively on ESPN Plus. Well, that's pretty nice. Think they're still going to charge you $95?
They're going to charge you a discount.
On ESPN? You
got to have ESPN Plus first, but
It doesn't come if you have ESPN Plus?
I don't think so.
That's yeah, it just says buy now. Yeah. We'll see what it says. Buy now. What does it cost? Give me some $84.98. You're saving $10. God dang, ESPN. They're like, we're hurting. We have no content. No, I hear that. There's a 8th seed today seeding. Are they both 7th, 8th seed? They're just trying to see which one's which.
In basketball, it's a 9th seed versus an 8th seed. So the 9th seed, which is the Grizzlies, they got to win twice against the 8th seed Trailblazers, who only have to win once.
Just to get into the playoffs.
Just to get into the playoffs.
So they got a 2-game either today and tomorrow.
Yeah, or it could be over today if the Blazers.
Over today if the Blazers. And that guy right there, Lillard, he's been on some other stuff right now.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. And Steph are very close to being the best in the league.
Yeah, but he's bulkier, and I think he has better handles. And I don't know. Ooh. He just seems more like a – I don't know. See, I just can't – Steph is such a good shooter that I can't see his handles. You know what I mean? His shooting overshoots his handles so much that I can't see it. But I see his handles more than his shooting.
See, that's what's crazy is because people say that Steph's handles is what separates him from everybody else in the league, which in a way it does. I think Steph's more flashy than Dame, which that's why Steph's more marketable and people know him more. But yeah, I'm telling you, I think Dame's right there. Like people were like, what? Steph and Dame? Like Steph's clearly better. He has the 3 rings, the MVPs, et cetera.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean, when you're marketed better and you know, Steph has a better smile and Dame's the gritty cat from Oakland.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's different.
See, that's what's wild, though, is how big of a part marketable, you know what I mean? But it's like he's a better player, but no, we can't market him. We're going to take this other guy because he's a prettier smile.
Yeah, quarterback face.
Yeah.
Like that's what it is. Like you know it more than anybody. Like – that's what the quarterback is. Like, if you have that quarterback with the it face, that could take you a long way.
Sunshine.
Exactly. Not everybody's Peyton Manning.
Yeah. Well, see, because Peyton Manning's he looks like Sloth from Goonies. You know what I mean? Like, that's Peyton. That's Peyton right there. Uh-oh, my phone's on deck. Sorry about that, everybody. But he's good on TV.
Yeah.
Like, he has great commercials. Like, I love his commercials. I think they're awesome. But, sorry, that messed me up real quick. No, but I think, you know, then you got Tom Brady, pretty boy. You got, you know, Joe Montana, the Elways. Aaron Rodgers was there, but everyone knows he's a D. You know what I mean? So, like,
like, what ugly quarterback? And I don't even think Peyton's ugly. Like, if you go back to his Tennessee days, with it's his like his head.
Neck, with his giraffe neck?
It's like his head grew, his brain grew as he took in more knowledge.
No, the person that head grew was Vandenbosch from Titans. This dude, I promise you, his head, like, and he had back surgery and it was like cleaning 300 like a month later. Like, you can't tell me that dude wasn't on some extra stuff. Like, his head had veins in it, like, for real. Like, I swear that dude was on the stuff. And he was crazy. I mean, he was good, though. I mean, I ain't gonna lie. But he was the one guy, he was like a cheap shot guy, where he would be going to, like, chase the ball after the ball get thrown or whatever, and he'd run by you and clip you.
Oh, those guys, you know, are the
mean?
Worst.
Like, clip your heel or hit you in the shoulder and, like, and go, oh, and knock you on your face, you know what I mean? And, like, oh, and keep, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I've.
So what's that do?
I swing at him every time. So like I try to – when I was going against Vandenbosch, like I tried to kill him every play. Not, you know, not literally, but like I tried to destroy him. Like, just because he pissed me off so bad, he's one guy that put me on a different level.
So how does that like build your reputation in the league? Because it could go either way. Because some of those guys
all
are –
all the line know. He was like, oh, he's a cheap ass. You know, he's a cheap shot guy.
Right, exactly.
So,
but
like, but you'll see teams put in stuff like Joel Dreesen. We put in – so Vandenbosch, he hit Joel across the middle one time, and Joel's like on his knees, and he just like took it to the throat, like bad. And so the next 2 weeks later when we played him, we had a play in there where Dwayne kind of let him go, and Joel came down on a crackback and just hit him right underneath the chin and de-cleated his ass. So we do that, and then by the I'm sorry, that was the first game we played him. We went over there, we put that in for him because of some I don't know, something, right? So boom, Joel comes down, de-cleats him. Next 3 weeks later when we play him, Joel's on punt team. And I talked to Mike Griff after this. I said, what were y'all doing? Joel's on punt team, we're watching film. And there's 9 guys chasing Joel Dreesen. Like,
just for payback.
Oh, yeah, just for payback. And I talked to Griff, and Griff confirmed. He said on that play, they said, hey, everybody has to hit him on one play. And that was all because of what he did to Vandenbosch.
Damn.
Yeah.
See, that's the bounty. That's what the Saints hit far for when they got in trouble. Y'all, if y'all lucky it wasn't a big-time player like Favre, y'all would have got hit.
No, but I mean, I don't think that's really a bounty. I think that's more,
true, because there's no money involved.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like, hey, I'll give you $1,000 and knock him out, right? Like, there's none of that. It's right. Just like, yo, that dude punked your ass, so we better get him back. And that's what they did. I mean, they didn't get him. Joel's just so funny. I wish somebody could find that clip because he's just – and you see Joel, like, get through 2 of them, and then here comes, like, 3 more, and then another 3, and he just starts – and then Joel just starts running to the sideline. Like, I can't even do nothing.
Yeah.
But it's hilarious. I mean, they're all just teeing off on his
– So, like, how do you gain a certain reputation in the league? Because, in a way, obviously, that's dirty. Yeah.
Well, you watch so much film.
Right. But so, for his team, is that like considered being like the it guy, like you're taking one out for the team to set a tone?
No, it's just the way he played. For the team, you're like, he's a dirty player.
And even if he's on your team, you're still like, he's a dirty player, but I'm glad he's on
him,
my team.
It was him and Albert Haynesworth side by side.
Oh, yeah,
like,
Albert Haynesworth.
Albert Haynesworth stepped on Gerard's head like from CU. And Gerard's a good dude.
Yeah.
He's a good dude. I like him. Many of nights having a few whiskeys with that man. But like, Haynesworth stepped on his head. So, like, I'm a second-year guy, first game ever, rookie year, and I got to go against Haynesworth and Vandenbosch? I'm like, oh, God. No, but I mean, you know, that first play, Haynesworth head slapped me and smoked Sage Rosenfeld. I thought I was about to get cut. Mike Griff tells the best story about that, but
we gotta get him on. You know that's my guy, Bowie High School alum.
I forgot about that. I saw that he made it out to practice the other day. I gotta talk to him though. He's been on them Ducatis and stuff, riding them bikes and everything. Well, you need to chill out with all that. Chill out with all that stuff. But no, we got a good show today. I think one of the Rhino brothers is gonna be calling in, talking hunting and fishing. Not really hunting, more just fishing right now. They're still killing stripers. White bass are still hitting on topwaters. The heat kind of pushed everything down right now, is from what I've heard on the lakes. Last couple of days, fish a little bit deeper, a little bit lazier because it's so hot. So mornings are probably best right now. Afternoons are just, I mean, I ain't going out in the afternoon. But dove season's right around the corner. Go get your, make sure you get your licenses. Get dove hunting because that is, you know, less than a month away. And it's going to be a hot one. But I think, you know, we haven't had water really in the last month. So I think, you know, the local birds around Austin, you know, you get out on the outside suburbs and, you know, Kyle, you know, just Georgetown. There's, you know, there's places out there where you can go, you know, bass drop and everything like that, where you get to shoot all the city birds and stuff. And it should be pretty good right now because I think the waters, there's not a lot of puddles. Because that's what screws you is when, and it usually happens, like a cold front will come in if you're up north right before dove season starts and pushes all the dove out, right? Or, you know, the dove are thick and then a rain comes up and that spreads them out too because, you know, they usually, you know, thick up. You know, a lot of them get together if they're near a water source, right? So, but if it rains, there's these little puddles in the roads and everything like that. They get water from that as well. And so it just, it makes dove hunting crap. So hopefully it, you know, we need water right now, but hopefully, you know, a couple weeks before the dove season it stops, you know, we get a little dry out so we can concentrate on the birds. Oh, yeah? What kind of questions we got here? Legacy? All right. Good morning, Studdard. As a guy who played with and won a natty with the number one player in the nation, did you see for the first time since Vince, Texas landed the number one? I did see that. Quinn, I haven't seen the kid play. Where is he from? I don't even know where he's from.
Is he South Lake Carroll?
Is he South Lake Carroll?
I think. I don't know that for sure.
I really haven't seen him play, but I mean, if he's the number one,
he's just going to be a junior.
He's just going to be a junior.
Yeah, coming in this year.
He's already the number one quarterback.
Yeah, he must have ate him up sophomore year. I haven't checked him out either.
Oh, so we still got 2 years with him. See, that's the hard thing.
Yeah, we have mad quarterbacks lined up after Sam.
Yeah, because we have what, four in the house.
Yeah, and they're
pretty. They're going to
be solid. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but if you can get this kid. The only thing that sucks right now about quarterbacks and this new transfer portal is you almost – if you got a guy that's – we got these four quarterbacks right now, right? And two of them step up, they're playing well, you know, they get some time in, but you get this number one recruit in. If he ain't playing by his second year, the kid's probably going to transfer. But he grew up a Longhorn fan. It is South Lake Carroll. You know, it's 2 years. That's the only thing that sucks. You know, what if one of these quarterbacks at Texas after this year, next year goes and balls out? You know, and then so you have that whole thing. Then he's like, oh, I don't want to go compete again. It just all depends.
Yeah, it's so easy to transfer now. That's the only thing. Like,
and. So I look at that, and then they just don't. I don't know. I just don't see anybody. I can't really put all my eggs in a basket with any players until their senior year, until it's like almost signing day when you can really know, because we took him from Oklahoma apparently. So you know we got 2 years, junior senior year. Hopefully Texas keeps him tight, because if he comes to Texas, I mean, number one player, I mean, he will. He is a type caliber player from what I've just read up on the last couple minutes talking to y'all. That, yeah, he'll bring players in. I mean, Vince had that effect. You know, it was like, oh, are we getting Vince in here? But Vince wasn't, you know, but once Vince got here, people wanted to play for Vince. You know what I mean? So we kept getting recruits while Vince was playing because they wanted to come here for that on the offense and defense side of the ball. So, yeah, it's definitely possible. But he's a sophomore, though. I can't believe he's a sophomore and he's already number one in the nation.
Yeah, that's the thing. Since he's the biggest recruit that we've had since Vince, that's why it's such a big deal. And the fact that he had OU and Ohio State on the table and he chose UT, like, that's big time for Herman and the crew.
No, it is big time. I just hope they 44 touchdowns and 3 interceptions as a sophomore. Okay, I see what you're saying now. Dang, as a sophomore, 44 tugs and only 3 interceptions. And South Lake Carroll, they're playing big boy football now.
Yeah, they're not.
You know,
they used to be 4A, then 5A, I think.
Yeah, they're playing, you know, high caliber Dallas teams, you know what I mean? And that's wild. I think, well, I'm excited. Hopefully he, you know, stays healthy and kicks ass the next 2 years and comes to Texas. So we got 2 years with him. So we got Sam out this year. And then we'll have one. He'll probably still come, though, because it'll still be that, you know, if we have 4 quarterbacks, kind of, we don't know who's going to start, you know, and he comes in that next year, he may come in and compete and then take it all over if he's that good. But I hope we get someone like that because Texas has missed out on too many damn quarterbacks. Too many damn quarterbacks. But we'll be right back with more Big Ugly Tailgate and right after this.
Back to Big Ugly Tailgate on the Horn. Big Ugly Tailgate is brought to you by Twisted X Brewery, the official beer of barbecue.
Welcome back. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Big Ugly Tailgate. I just feel like a deep voice in that one. Somebody was asking some more info on some stats on our new commitment, our new 5-star. He is he went off for 4,000 yards last year, had 44 touchdowns, 3 interceptions as a sophomore. I mean, 4,000 yards in the air, that's insane. Yeah, he's going to be a good one. And Todd, that is right. Todd Dodge's son is the coach. I forgot about that. Coach of the Westlake, his son is the coach up there. Golf Lingo, appreciate the yellow bellies yesterday. Had a guy come up to the trailer, and he was like, man, I can't. He was like, are you really working out in this 107-degree heat? And I'm like, yeah. And he was like, well, here's a 6-pack of tall boys. I was listening on the radio. I said, oh, man, I appreciate it. So I appreciate that yesterday. Those went down nice and smooth. They said before he committed, other 5-stars were saying that they were going to go wherever he goes, the quarterback. So, I mean, that's good. I mean, that just shows you good players want to play with other good players. And if they're that good, and I'm sure they've been in camps together with these other top receivers and stuff like that in the state of Texas, where they're like, shoot, we gotta play together. They've got that chemistry already. It's one of those things. And the hard thing today is to hold on to players, because everybody now comes from this era of social media where they commit somewhere and they already think that they're the dude. You know what I mean? They think they should go in and play as a freshman, and then they get all, you know, they get all bent out of shape that, you know, they want them to redshirt. But it's like, a redshirt's a good thing. You know, you get acclimated to school, you get bigger, stronger, faster, and, you know, you get to learn, you get to understand football better. It's way different than high school, you know? And but these kids these days, they don't care about that. I mean, you'll see linemen sit because that's just kind of, you have to as linemen, really. You know, unless you're just, you don't have any depth, or, you know, a dude's just a beast. But, you know, redshirting, if any of you kids out there listen, redshirting is good. And if you have any kids that are going to be, you know, college athletes, tell them to redshirt, because that gives you another year of school to learn, to get through your grades, to get all your stuff done, and enjoy it. But that's my pretty much my point.
Did it make it easier for you to redshirt since you came from a football background and you just understood, you know, early, because a lot of guys don't have that, you know, luxury?
Well, you know, when I came here, yeah, I wanted to play. But, you know, you get up there and you're like, yeah, I'm not ready. Like, I could go out there and bang heads, but, I mean, the game ain't slowed down. I mean, if I had to go, I would have went, you know what I mean? But I definitely wasn't ready for it when I got here. I can admit that for sure. But yes, you need to develop the talent. That is the biggest thing. And that's just getting good coaching. And, you know, there's some coaches that really aren't teachers. They know football, but they don't know how to teach. You know what I mean? And there's some that know how to teach, but really don't know football. So it's like a hard thing. But if you find that coach that can relate to all the guys, like for me, I related better to people that have done it. You know what I mean? Like, my offensive line coach with the Texans, John Benton, I got along better and learned better from Bruce Matthews than John Benton. John Benton never played no pro ball. I mean, yeah, you this is the way I'm supposed to block, but I'm not going to go to you for information. I'm going to go to Bruce Matthews, 20 years in the league, you know, Hall of Famer, all pro, all NFL at left tackle, right tackle, center, and both guards. Like, he's made all pro at every position. And I gravitated towards him, you know, and I was like, so how do I block this guy? He goes, let's go watch some film. I'm like, all right. And we would sit there, and it'd take me like 10, 15 clips, and him, he sees it for like 2 seconds. Like, all right, I got it. And a lot of times he's like, Casey, you're not long. He goes, you know, but no one can run you over. You know, you can sit on a bull rush. So he goes, invite the bull rush. And if he wants to go hands, just stay inside out on him, you know, just, you know, stuff like that. But I gravitated towards coaches that had that experience. You know what I mean? Like, Lyle had Russ, I think he had Russ Grimm. I think that's who his O-line coach was at for the Cardinals. And he changed Lyle's whole career, you know. And that was the best thing for Lyle, was to go to the Cardinals with a coach like that, that had that Hall of Fame experience, you know what I mean, where Lyle could really – because Lyle's real smart, so he gets, you know, gets real deep into it. And have a coach like that, Lyle just ate that all up and ran with it for 9 years, you know. But, yeah, that's you got to develop the talent. That's the biggest thing. CB just texting, a tight end at Texas A&M was tweeting yesterday for guys to commit to Texas after Texas landed the 5-star yesterday. That don't make no damn sense. Freaking Aggies, man. They're messed up in the head or something. You know, I just don't know what to do, you know. A tight end at Texas A&M was tweeting yesterday for guys to commit to Texas after Texas. Golly. If that guy was on my team, it would be like an instant fight in the locker room. If anybody on our team ever said that, are you kidding me? All right. Well, that's that. We'll talk more Texas football. They're in camp right now. They're getting pads this weekend. They're probably practicing right now in the morning, because I know – that 107 ain't that's just not cool. I mean, that's so hot. It's so hot.
How'd you do it? Like, how did you get mentally prepared for that?
The hardest part was just getting to practice to start. I swear to God, that's the hardest mental part, because you're just thinking like, oh my God, it's gonna suck. But once you start, you're into practice, and you're like, okay, I got to get better, or I'm off the team. You know, that's the way I always looked at it. Like, in the NFL, if you don't you better have good practices, or you'll be off the team quick too. So you always got to show that you're in the books, doing your thing. You know what I mean? And I practice hard, because the way, for me, the better, the tougher the practices were that week, were the easier the games were. So I like that. You know what I mean? It just, and plus, you know, here at Texas, we had, you know, you're going against, you know, Rod Wright, you know, B-Rob and Crowder and Arakpo and all these guys all the time, you know, so you better bring it, you know what I mean? So that's the mentality that I came from. Like, you have to, you know, I'm not going to have this guy, you know, talking ass in the locker room that he beat me, you know what I mean? So it's that competitiveness is what really got me, what kept me going. But, like, the mental aspect, you just have to, I mean, you just have to block it out. Because I remember my rookie year, we had a guard go down, so I had to run. I had to rotate with Chester Pitts for the ones, so I rotated with him. This was like two practices in a row, and I almost died. But it broke me. But it broke me. Like, I've been broken before where I was like, wow, I don't think I can make it, and I got past it, you know what I mean? But this is like the second time I was broke. So what happened was guard went down, had to run half the ones, and these are all 16-play scripts, right? So had to run half the ones, run all the twos and all the threes. And then I'll get the last two plays off of the threes, and then I'll get like a four-play break, and then I was back in with the ones. So I would go like 20-something in a row, like all practice, like 20-something period. Like, it was, I think I had 85 plays in practice, 2 days in a row or something like that. I was like playing two games in camp my rookie year. And remember my O-line coach, John Bitten, walked by me and goes, the second day, and I was sucking pond water, had towels on me. And but I wasn't, you know, I was doing good, you know. And he came up to me and he was like, people would die for the reps that you're getting right now. I was like, bitch, I swear to God I'll hit you with my helmet right now. Like, are you kidding me? Like,
motivation.
Like, no, there's no motivation. Like, get your ass out of here. Don't come over here and try to pep talk me when it's, you know, people be dying for these reps. Get out of here with that crap. I swear to God, it was the closest I've ever came to swinging a helmet at anybody in my entire life. I was like, what are you kidding me right now? But yeah, so that was that second time where you come off the field and you need a cold towel, you feel like you're going to faint. And that's how it felt every time. Like, you get off the field because it was so hot, and you'd be like, all right, cold towel. And they had that good eucalyptus, and they would, you know, put cold towels on all your main arteries to cool you down real quick, and boom, you're back in. But, I mean, that's what you got to – I mean, that's the thing that people don't see all that. They don't understand how hard all that is. You know what I mean?
So how often do you see guys pass out?
You see them come close. You'll see them full body cramps and stuff like that. You know what I mean? But
yeah, because I could just remember on.
I mean, you're getting IVs after practice.
Yeah, yeah. I remember on Bear Bryant, the Junction Boys movie that came on ESPN a while back, and that cat on A&M who just passes out or gets a heat stroke, and you know Bear Bryant is just still getting after him, yeah. Like. Yeah. No remorse, because you know, that's just how it was back then. Yeah. So.
No, I mean, it's you know, and then you hear back from stories of, like, my dad and them, you know, they're out there practicing on turf, and, like, it's full two-a-days where you're pounding each other two practices in a row and all that kind of stuff. And it's crazy how it's changed so much. Now it's two-a-day, one-a-day. I don't even think they have two-a-days now.
Wow.
Yeah, 2 days aren't even a thing anymore. But
so how much do you think they're hitting right now opposed to what you went through back in your days here at the 40 Acres?
Well, I mean, it's weird right now because of COVID, so they don't have all that. Everything's pushed back, right? So, like, Texas was – the NFL was sitting there, what, camp for a week and a half before they put pads on. Texas has been in camp a week and or so without pads. So it's that whole – there's such a process now. But compared to, like, last year, I'd say, we hit a lot more. So, I mean, you're hitting twice a day at practice. You know what I mean? Full pads going. And so and that's, you know, 19-period practices, you know. So that's 10-minute periods. That's, you know, that's getting after it. It's nice. But I feel like you can kind of see it in the first couple games. Kids' pads aren't really set that well. You know what I mean? Because they don't really – they can't – I don't know. I think it's more the fourth quarter because you can't get in shape. Okay, you can be in shape running, right, and exercising and all that kind of stuff for football. But you can't get into football shape without playing football. It's just impossible. You know, I could be in the best shape of my life and go out to a practice and still be sitting there sucking pond water. You know what I mean? Just like, oh, my God. And so I think, you know, that 2-a-days does benefit because it, you know, separates the men from the boys. It really, like, makes you dig deep. You know, that's a fourth quarter thing in football is, you know, you got to dig deep in the fourth quarter, especially if it's a fight. Like, you better have all the energy to go knock that dude out. You know what I mean? And you can tell with some D-tackles are so tired, especially coming to Austin when it's hot. You know, some of them cooler states, you know. But, yeah, that's, you know, that's my thing with that.
So with the new schedule, how do you think coaches are going to go about preparing now? Like, how would you go about it with trying to protect the players but also making sure they're game ready?
You know, I think it's more – well, these rules are the rules, right? So you have to – I mean, when you're in practice, you got to have – it's got to be – it's got to be full go. You know, you got to do a lot more live. I mean, not live, but you're going to have to do – there has to be a lot more contact. You know, one-on-ones every day, you know, pushing sleds and hitting each other. It's just that feel thing. It slows football down practicing against people, going full speed. You know, it's just that you've seen – it's just the more information in your brain that of plays you've seen where things you recognize, it slows the game down. We're like, oh, okay. This is going to come like this because this guy's sitting here like this, light on his finger or whatever. You know, his leg's a little bit wider right now, so I know he ain't coming upfield. He's going to try to juke me or probably come inside. You know, things like that slow the game down for you. But have you ever stepped on someone's chest? Let's see here. I did in high school. No. Never stepped on anybody's chest. That's just kind of disrespect, I feel like. But I was playing D-tackle in high school, and this kid fell down in front of me, and I stepped on the back of his back and, like, kind of catapulted myself off of that to make a tackle. But, I mean, that's the closest thing I've ever done, like, to stepping on somebody. I mean, that's just me. I mean, I'm an ass, but, like, I'm not going to do something like that. Just step on someone's throat. What? You like that? That's some incognito. I remember, God, you guys got to ask. Next time y'all talk to Crowder, I'll let him tell the story. Ask him about the first time. I think it was his freshman year. And he was going to get, we're playing Nebraska here at home. And he came to the sideline and he was like, man. You have to tell the story. He's like, incognito's crazy. Like, now we know, you know, the next 10 years of him being in the league and in and out the league that, yeah, that dude's certified crazy. He's nuts.
I heard he's good, man. I mean, he's good.
Oh, he's solid, but that's why he's still in the league. That's why people are like, can you fix your head and come play for another year? You know what I mean? But that dude is, he's good. I mean, he's strong as an ox. But remember that whole Miami thing where
yeah, the bullying, hazing thing? Yeah.
That's so funny. Someone asked, what's on the pit today? We got a full pit today. I got turkey, chicken, brisket, ribs. We're calling it pig ass now, pulled pig ass. We got plenty of that. I was like, can I put that on the menu? You think people get offended? Who wants some pulled pig ass? I don't know. Hopefully people don't get too offended when it's on the menu like that.
Who knows in the days we're living in now.
Sir, you said ass on your menu? I'm like, yeah. It's in the Bible. You can say that. I can say that on air. I can write that. We have a full pit today. We actually have our brisket kolaches as well today. Mexican chocolate cake, peach cobbler, and our banana pudding stupid.
So what's the difference between Mexican chocolate cake and normal chocolate cake?
Yeah, it's just chocolate from Mexico.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Then we got pecans on top of it. It's good. It's really good. It's Yeah, it's my mom's recipes are on the sweet side. CC Sweets. That's the only thing I'm going to call it. But, hey, we'll be right back. We're going to talk a little fishing when we get back from this, and we'll see you on the other side. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Big Ugly Tailgate. It's just me in the house today, Casey. It's going to be a hot one today. Get your water in early so you can drink a lot of beer in the afternoon. Probably get in the pool or something like that. Maybe get a big bag of ice and some tequila and a blender, some limes, a little bit of mix. And there you go. A little margarita Saturday. And if you're making them and you're coming up to Whitfield's, bring me one too. I'll take one to go. It's hot. A couple people texting in saying, you guys see a picture of the new quarterback. He has a sick mullet. I checked it out. He does have a nice mullet.
Well, you got to know South Lake Carroll, they always dye their hair blonde when they go to state or when they go into the playoffs. So
really?
I don't really know if that's his normal hair, but it's been a known thing for South Lake Carroll players to always go like that blonde and have that weird type of hairstyle when they go to state. Like, it's always been known for them to do that.
Rich boy Carrolls. Oh, South Lake Carroll, rich. Aren't they like a private school or something like that?
I don't know if they're private school, but
they're like a Westlake in Dallas, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they're kind of like that.
Yeah, that's what I figured. What does someone say? According to practice, said Hudson Card has been lighting it up, freshman from Lake Travis out of practice. You know, that's the other thing is, too. Now, you got Hudson Card coming in here and – you know, say he wins the job for next year, you know, and is this quarterback that we have, is he going to come in now knowing that Hudson Card, and say Hudson Card kicks ass next year? Do these kids these days want that competition? Do they want to go play for the best and go beat out the best? You know, that's the way I am. But I understand there's a lot of politicking and stuff like that, I guess. I mean... There's always politicking when it comes to quarterbacks and stuff, with especially with families and all that. But, you know, is this new kid going to stick with us? You know, is he one of those type of kids that he wants to go to the best school and compete against the best? Because that's the way I always was raised. Like, why go somewhere where they're not as good just to play? I want to go play where the best people are and be a starter on that team, because then you know you're a bad dude. You know what I mean? And that's what kind of drove me. So it's weird to, you know, these days now these kids are like, well, I'm not playing, I'm going to transfer. And I just think it's, you know, chicken ass. But that's me. I mean, I don't know. If you don't want to go compete at a high level against the best, then why are you playing the sport? Like, it don't make sense. Just so you can go play on a mediocre ass team and go dominate. They ain't gonna get you any better. You know what I mean? So that's the way I look at that. What else we got today? We got NBA starting playoffs. NFL is in training camp right now. Everything that I've seen is still looking good. You know, player wise, camp wise, you know, how they're containing their bubble, but really, during camp, you're contained in a bubble anyways, you know, for 30 days. You know, it's when you let people go home and all that. And you see with the was it the Seahawks that a player,
oh, yeah, homeboy
brought a chicken, boom, cut from the team that day.
Yeah, and try to dress her up in Seahawks, like,
no way, gear, too. I didn't know all that.
Yeah.
Oh, he's desperate. God dang. Was he a veteran player or a rook?
No, rook. Undrafted.
Oh, you're an idiot. If you're an undrafted rookie, like, you better have your head in the damn playbook and try to be the best you can be every second of the day. Try to make a squad, and your dumbass brought a chicken during camp. Like, you don't need it during camp. I never even saw girls during camp. That's wild.
Different generation, dog.
Yeah, I mean, but you're undrafted free agent. What are you thinking? Like, you're trying to make a team. You ain't on the squad. No, you're trying to make the 53 or whatever it is now, and now your ass is at home because you, during camp, wanted to wanted some a lady companion.
That's the perks, though. That's part of the perks, part of the ride. You know, he just got to the league. He said, "I'm gonna experience."
Yeah, but
this.
Do that when you don't have when you're not in camp. He must be not be doing nothing in camp, because I know when I was in camp, I came home and passed out and like was flinching every hour, hoping I didn't miss the damn my alarm clock. That's the crappy thing about you're so nervous about being late and being on time because you're so tired. You know, you get up at 6 and you don't get home till 9. You sleep by 9:30, 10 o'clock, you know. And, you know, it's like Groundhog Day for 10 days, you know, 10, 12 days at least. No, I'm sorry, 2 weeks at least. And then it kind of goes, then it breaks up a little bit. You know, you're not, you know, you get into preseason and stuff like that. So kind of regular week type stuff, but you're still in camp. I couldn't even imagine even if they had a day off, but it is different right now. 'Cause they're not even banging in pads yet. They've been, you know, for 2 weeks or a whole week and a half or whatever with just shells or what, not even shells, you know? So I don't know. That kid's a dummy. Baseball's heating up. I did see, it was funny yesterday. I was listening to, RBKD or whatever the hell they call it. Is that right? RBKD?
Yeah, RBKD, triple option.
Yeah, triple option. That's it. And it is funny, though. You know, it is baseball season, and usually it's all over ESPN, you know, Yankees, Red Sox. It's always promoted, and I'll watch it, you know, because I'll tune into it just because it's Yankees, Red Sox. But I guess apparently the Red Sox are so trash that, I mean, they're not even promoting it now. It's just wild. But baseball still has another 50 games, so we can talk about them later, you know. But what I do want to talk about is we do have the Wyndham Championship this weekend, and a lot of good basketball happened last night. Philadelphia beat the hell out of Houston. Joe Embiid goes over and checks James Harden. And then James Harden throws a ball at Embiid, and James Harden gets a technical. This don't make no damn. It don't make no sense to me.
That always happens in the league. Like, but the ref sees the second person every time.
But the foul was like James Harden dribbling up the court, and Embiid just came and checked him with his chest. You know what I mean? Like, come on. Like, you deserve to get a ball thrown at you, just because you didn't get your call on the other end. You know what I mean? I don't know. I hate how soft basketball is. But, yeah, so that made me mad. OKC, though, out of nowhere, Chris Paul's just healthy and playing good and getting that – and Oklahoma City's playing good now. It's like
– yeah, when he's healthy, then sky's the limit for them. Because
they're making the playoffs, right?
Yeah, they're a fourth seed.
They're a fourth seed, too.
So. They got Houston first round.
That's right. They do have Houston first round, so that's that whole matchup. That'll be a fun little matchup. But, I mean, well, we got Westbrook out for at least a week.
Yeah, they said several games. Some people think that's three. Some people think that's two. I guess it just depends on how he's feeling each day.
Oh, gotcha. I like Denver, though. I don't know. I just like that big boy in the middle. You know, he's
– Joker? Jokic?
Yeah. He's just – he's a big boy, but he's lost. He caught COVID or whatever before and lost like 30 pounds or something like that.
Yeah.
Right before the bubble and everything like that. I guess he's finally putting his weight on and starting to ball out a little bit more. So it's fun to watch. I just like seeing a big guy that can move and, you know, spin inside and all that kind of stuff. Other than that, you know, playoffs start this week. So be good to see that. LA's the number one seed, right?
Yeah.
And then got Clippers the 2 seed?
Yeah.
And then Houston 3 seed?
No, the Nuggets are a 3 seed.
3 seed Nuggets, 4 seed Houston, or I'm sorry, Houston's a 5 seed?
Yeah.
That's wild. That's wild. I did see, I was reading this thing, on ESPN about going back to NFL football or wherever, where Manziel from the Browns is like, I don't know, I just got caught up in the chaos last year, blah, blah, blah. So it'll be fun.
You mean Baker?
Yeah, Baker, Mayfield. What did I say?
Manziel.
Yeah, dang, way off. Baker. Yeah, so Baker Mayfield, he said, you know, he's got caught up in the chaos and blah, blah, blah. Because you saw at Oklahoma, he can throw the damn ball now. I mean, and it's just to see him get dialed in. I'm gonna be watching that one this year to see how that does, because he has weapons all around him.
Oh, they're loaded.
I mean, they're freaking loaded. I mean, you have Hunt in the backfield.
Yeah. He's the backup though. They got I can't think of my man's
name.
You
remember him at Kansas City? How lethal he was, like, until he got in all that crap, and then
Nick Chubb is there starting running back.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah, he's a stud.
You got those two headed monsters. You got the receivers that you have, Landry and Beckham. Like, come on, man. You got to use these weapons. You got, you know. So I'm curious to see that. But the crazy thing, before we get back, I want to talk about the Baltimore Ravens, because they're definitely trying to build a team to win the championship this year just by seeing their latest D-tackle signees. Same with the Cowboys. But we'll be right back with more Big Ugly Tailgate right after this.